Please stand for the gospel. May the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside. He sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Be seated. Well, what a beautiful, beautiful evening. And it's just wonderful to see so many people here. This is my fourth Awaken, and inspired both by Awaken and our youth group trips to the youth conferences at Steubenville. We at St. Malachy, my home parish, have instituted Eucharistic devotion with procession four times a year. And what I've experienced in my three other times of Awaken, and both and at Steubenville, and in our holy hours at St. Malachy, and right now here with all of you, is I feel very uplifted. I feel God is lifting us up. Anybody here feel lifted up by the Lord? Let me hear an amen.
Amen.
One more time. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus lifts us up. Jesus picks us up of whatever dark space we're in and picks us up like a parent holds a baby and looks at it face to face. That's how the Lord picks us up, to let us know that both by holding us in his arms, gazing into our eyes, and speaking softly into our ears, that he loves us. Loves us to the very depths of our souls. And it is a tremendous feeling, a beautiful feeling, truly an uplifting feeling. And I know through my 31 years as a priest is that there's no way I could continue doing what I do without moments like these. We all need moments like these. Do you all agree?
Yes.
Let's hear another amen. I'm going to get you all riled up tonight. I am going to try anyway. Because when I'm at Awaken or another holy hour like this, it's so easy to open up your life to the Spirit. The Spirit is with us, moving in every one of us. And the Spirit is energy. And when you're up here, believe it or not, you can feel the energy of the Spirit moving in all of your lives. All of your lives out there. And moving toward me. And believe me, I need it. And I'm grateful for it. You know, I really am. It is a blessing. I'm very humble to have been asked to come here. And I only pray that whatever the Spirit inspires me to say to you, will be of some value. Our Archbishop, Alan Vigneron, from time to time, likes to get together with his priests. And he does this about once every two or three years. He invites the priest down to a meeting at Sacred Heart Seminary, and he doesn't tell us what it's about. Does anybody like to go and see their boss and not know what their boss wants them to say? You can say no. Let's hear no. No. You want to know. You want to know, right? You want to know what's going on. Absolutely you do. I mean, I can remember as a kid when I had my first job at Kresge's And I remember the boss called me to his office and didn't tell me why. And then I learned why you want to know, because it wasn't very good. Anyway, he still told me I was wasting too much time dumping down the trash in the dumpsters and not enough time unloading the semis. Well, all right, fair enough, you know. It was a job. But he called, and I remember a few years back, he calls us all downtown, and we're all sitting there and at tables, and he goes up there, and he said, I just want to spend some time reflecting with all of you and sharing our priestly stories of being called to the priesthood with one another and what inspires us as priests. And then he went on to share with us his calling to the priesthood, that his father had a business, his father owned a dump truck and basically hauled dirt and had a very hard and difficult life to put Alan, you know, into seminary, high school, and then seminary. It was difficult. He shared that with us, and he shared with us the moment when he was in college, and he remembers where he was. He was up in the upper balcony at Sacred Heart, where he finally decided to make a real deep personal commitment to the Lord, and that would inspire him to go on to be ordained a priest. And then, of course, the rest is history. He became the rector, and then an auxiliary bishop, and then came back to us as our archbishop. It was a beautiful sharing story. And so he invited then the people at the tables to share their story of when they were called. When did the Lord call you? And of course, you know, I'll be honest with you, when priests are around their fellow priests, we talk about all kinds of things. We talk about the Tigers, the Lions, the Red Wings, Michigan State, Michigan, local politics, the weather. We don't often talk about spiritual things unless we're going to confession, which I needed to do today and did. So we're kind of caught off guard. And so the first question is, when did you know you were called to be a priest? And honestly, my story on that is a little odd, because after graduating from Michigan and going down to Arkansas for law school and getting involved in a Bible study down there. It was a Baptist Bible study. You see, the guys in the dorm thought I was Catholic, so I needed to be saved. You know, it's a story about that. But I did have a moment of accepting the Lord Jesus as my Savior, and it was a powerful, Spirit-filled, uplifting, that's the word for the day, uplifting moment. And, of course, caused great confusion in my life because I didn't know whether I should stay a Catholic now or become a Baptist. But I went to my parish priest, Father Joe Paolo. Some of the smartest people I know are named Joe. But he looked at me and he said, Joe, the question you got to ask yourself is, how big is your God? Because the Baptist theoretic is that God is not in your life. You ask God to come in your life, God enters your life. But Catholics believe God is already there. God is already present in your life. You just got to open your life to his presence. And of course, we believe in his presence in the baptism. We believe in his presence in the Holy Eucharist. He's right there, present right now on the altar with us tonight. And he's present because we've gathered in his name. He's present with us in many different ways. And he says, your experience is real. He said, these experiences people have when they open their lives and accept the Lord Jesus are real. But it's not God coming to your life for the first time. It's you humbling yourself to open yourself to that presence. And so I was, of course, then it caused a conundrum. I've just spent all this money becoming a lawyer. Now, maybe God's calling me to be a priest. And I remember having made that decision and going home to tell my parents. And I told my parents my story, and they began to cry. And I began to think maybe they're crying about all the money they spent on law school and they never get back because they know priests don't make much money. We really don't. And he said, and they were crying, and I didn't know why they were crying. I started to cry. And finally, my mother told my dad, you tell him. And my dad said, well, son, you know, we got married in 47, and you came around in 57, and you were the firstborn. And, well, we tried all kinds of medicines and went and called the doctors, and it didn't look like Ma was ever going to be pregnant. So we just put out prayers for adoption, and then we prayed one day before the statue of our infant of Prague, this infant of Prague statue, and we said, God, if you just give us a child, we'll dedicate that child back to you, you know, just give us a child. And sure enough, I was conceived very shortly after, and then after that, there were two more, my lovely sisters, Marianne and Michelle, came afterwards. Well, they never told me that story because they figured if God wanted to cash in on the promise, that's up to God. They weren't going to put any pressure on me. So when I told them the story, they decided that was God cashing in. God decided, okay, you offered him up. So when people told me, when did I know I was going to be a priest? I says, well, probably a few months before I was conceived, except I didn't know it, what was going to happen. So I shared that story with my fellow priests. And then, well, then we're sitting around, and then the Archbishop wants us to talk about what scripture passage inspires us the most. What scripture passage speaks most to your priesthood? In your being a diocesan priest for the Archdiocese of Detroit, what scripture passage speaks to you the loudest about your ministry? Well, the gospel reading I chose today was the Beatitudes because Father Milligan, who's now passed on to heaven, Father Milligan from St. Ephraim's in Sterling Heights back when he was still alive and with us, a very nice man, very humble man. If you've ever been to St. Ephraim's and been to the office is on the first floor and the rectory is on the second floor. And it's a very high ceiling. The stairs are very steep. And Father Milligan's heart was not good. And in this last 5 years, it got even worse. So he had one of those chair elevators installed along the steps to go on up. And he shared with us this beautiful, beautiful story of the picture of Jesus on the Mount, Sermon on the Mount, giving the Beatitudes. And as he would ride up on his chair after his day of ministry, he would see Jesus there. And he said he envisioned the Lord welcoming him into heaven. And he would meditate on the Beatitudes and how beautiful and glorious that it was. And I thought, that is a powerful and uplifting story. That really spoke to Father Milligan, and it spoke to the other priests. And the other priests would share, and one of them said, well, for him, it was the ascension. He always thought about the Lord leading us to heaven and picking us up, and that one day we will follow, and we will leave this valley of tears, and we will spend eternity with the Lord. And it was a beautiful vision. It was a very uplifting vision. And another one told about the parable of the sower and the seed, and how that when the seed finally takes root in our lives, how the Spirit will use our gifts to bring about the kingdom of God. There were one uplifting story after another, and I was feeling wonderful, wonderful, until they got to me. And I looked at them and I said, well, you know, not quite. I have a little different view on this. I mean, trust me, I like to be uplifted. There's no doubt about it. I need to be uplifted. I'm right here with you tonight being uplifted by the Spirit. But I said, no, I think this passage comes from the book of Jonah. And it said, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the stomach of the fish and said, I call out my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of the whale. He heard my voice. For you have cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows are passing over me. So I said, I've been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. A great depth engulfed me. Weeds are wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains, the earth with its bars ever around me. But you have brought me up my life from the pit, O Lord God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake your faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving that what I have vowed I will pray, salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish to vomit
Jonah up upon the dry land. And they looked at me and said, huh? They said, Joe, you have this vision of this whale or fish vomiting Jonah? I says, yes. As a matter of fact, I found a pop-up book that is called Biblical Beasties. You can find it. You can get it at a bookstore or order online. And it pops open, and there's Jonah coming out of the mouth of the whale or whatever it is, and all the vomit. It's really cool. My nephews love it. It's their favorite pop-up book. So, of course, they want to know where in God's green earth I came up with this and what does this have to do with my priesthood. I suppose some of them thought, well, you know, I scuba dive. It's one of my hobbies. I love scuba diving. I have scuba dived in the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic and the Pacific and the Mediterranean. I have been diving, and I specialize in diving with sharks. In fact, in South Africa, I was in a cage about 2 feet away from a great white shark about two-thirds of the size of the one in Jaws. In case you didn't know about it, the biggest great white sharks are all female. I don't know why, but they are. They're all female. And thank God for the steel bars. I did a shark certification for shark diving in the Bahamas. I have a video of me kneeling down on the bottom about 50 feet underwater while these 10-foot reef sharks are circling around. And one of them even bumps my head. And they tell you, don't move. It's important not to move. In fact, I'm a certified shark diver, as my sister likes to say, a certifiable shark diver. But, you know, that's... But I do like to do that. Well, one of my shark diving trips was to dive with the biggest shark of them all, the whale shark. The whale shark's about as big as a bus, a SEMTA bus. If you're from down our way, you'll know the SEMTA bus system. And they're just a big old bus, big as a Greyhound bus. And it eats planktons and shrimps. It doesn't even have teeth. It has these filters in its mouth, but it's big. And I remember going down to the Baja and going on this boat. And we dove in many different sites. And it came time to go to see the whale sharks. They spot them with the plane. And you get in these little skiffs. You bounce along the water. And then when the diver says jump, you jump. And I jumped. And about from me to my two servers here, I got two twins here, two of my servers sitting right in front. Right about close as you were. This fish comes at me with a mouth 10 feet wide, coming right at me, wide open. Boy, I tell you, I said things I'm not seeing in church. I tell you, that was frightening. Came right at me and then slowly swam just below me. I touched its head and its dorsal and its tail. The tail was so tall, it was taller than me. This is a big, big fish. So it was amazing. But as amazing as that was, when we were done diving with the whale sharks, we were on the skiff waiting for the big boat to pick us up. When our motor driver, you know, of course we were in Mexico, and he screams loud, really loudly, "Ballena, ballena," which means whale in Spanish. He's pointing at the side of our skiff, and right next to our skiff comes up this fin whale, which is I think the third largest of the whales. Comes up where the skiff's here, the whale is like right here. It comes up like this, like something out of a movie, with an eye like this, looks at us, and then slowly dives back down. And I've been on many whale-watching trips. I was blessed. My godson and I, he's a dentist. We were off the coast of Maine on a whale-watching trip when one of those humpback whales, like you've seen in the insurance companies, literally jump out of the water 6 times all around the boat. Something bigger than the biggest dinosaur jumping up on the water, something you don't forget. So I do love whales, and I do love sharks. But that's not why I like this passage. No. I think whales are cool, but I wouldn't want to be swallowed by one, or giant fish, or whatever you want to call it. No, I said, the Lord commanded the fish to vomit Jonah upon the shore. I says, remember, the Archbishop asked us, what capsulizes your priesthood? Well, we talked about the times that we feel lifted up, that we feel great, that we're feeling up here, like right now, you know, like right now, and other moments we've had in our lives, like First Communion or other holy hours, or maybe the day you were married or the day you held your grandchildren in your first arms or your children in your arms, something that really lifted you up. And those are fantastic days, but those aren't most days. And I've learned in my priesthood that most days go something like this. The geography, I'm in Sterling Heights, Michigan, which is just north of Warren. It's a large city. I think it's the fourth largest city of Michigan. Probably will pass Warren with the next census. I don't know. It's got about 95,000 people. And there's a giant hospital on the far corner just across in Troy. And we're on the one corner, and that's on the other far corner of the city. And you get a call at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to do an anointing. It seems to me that people only call for anointings during rush hour. I don't know. But I begin to record these times. It's uncanny. Okay, I'm going to go get in my car. Of course, I'm hitting every single red light. And it starts to rain. I don't have an umbrella. I know there's going to be no parking, so I have to pay valet. They don't validate at this hospital. So I make sure I have enough, I hope I have enough money in my change drawer, to cover this. And it takes me what that seemed to me forever. This is before I had Sirius radio, so I couldn't find anything good on the radio, to listen to. So it took forever to me, and we finally pulled up in the rain, went forever to the valet, had to get my ticket because the parking lot was jammed and the parking structure was jammed. Went in, met with the family, anointed their loved one, prayed with them, sang them a blessing. They were very happy I came. I went back down, seemed to wait forever to get my car. I saw it parked like 10 feet away, but I had to wait for the guy to drive it to the door, and that's the way it goes. Got in the car, rain's coming down, going back, hitting every red light on the way back, bumping along, saying things about why are these drivers waiting so long. You're sitting behind a car, in front of you it turns green, they're on the phone. Finally, I'm beeping the horn, I was losing my patience and all that. And finally, I get within about a half mile of the parish, and my phone goes off. It's the office. Father Joe, you got to go back to Troy Beaumont, that's the name of the hospital. You got to go anoint somebody. I says, I already did. No, this is another family. They just call. They're back Troy Beaumont again. And the Lord commanded the fish to vomit Jonah and go into the dry land. I remembered, why is he vomiting Jonah up? So Jonah can do what he's told to do. Remember, he was told to go to Nineveh and preach, and he fled. And God sent a whale to bring him back. I had to go do his job. So I had to pull in, turn around, and hit every light back all the way back to Beaumont to do the anointing again. And, of course, I was so worried about missing my appointment. I says, sometimes married couples will come late and everything will be all right. Oh, no, they came early. So they were waiting for me, and they said, oh, Father, we had waited and waited for you. And it was quite a day. And when I think of days like that, when I think of days when it's tough, when I think of days when things aren't going right, when I think of challenging days, when it's just so easy to say, oh, God, you can't mean it. You can't mean that to go back or to do it. Then I realize that the reason we have these days of being uplifted is to give us the strength for the days when we're sitting in the vomit. In a nutshell, that is about as drastic way as I can put it. Because we need time with the Lord. We need prayer. We need beautiful, spiritual-filled music. And isn't that choir fantastic? I would have had it for that choir. That's just really a great job. Thank you. We need them. We need them. Because tomorrow, who knows what the phone's going to ring. There are people in this congregation, I am sure, that are get up tomorrow, and they have a loved one they're taking care of at home. Maybe it's a parent, or maybe it's a child. It's going to be a tough day. Maybe someone's here today and tomorrow they're going to wake up and they're going to go to the help wanted ads again, trying to get a job because they've been laid off. Maybe there's someone here tonight who just recently found out that there was something found on their x-ray and they got to go in for a biopsy. And they're here tonight praying that whatever it is, it's not cancer. Or maybe there's someone here tonight who has to go in tomorrow for another chemo treatment.
Those are all tough days to be Christians. Those are all tough days to practice the faith. But if we open ourselves on these uplifting days, and we open up enough to the Spirit on these kind of days, to the bottom of the soul, I believe God will give us the grace and strength to get through those tough days. Because the kingdom of God is built in those tough days. Tonight we get the energy to do it, and on the tough days we do it. But that is what building the kingdom is about. Jesus went up that mountain and gave that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful service. And it was just glorious. To imagine to be there would have been something. I'm sure his apostles were just sky high. I mean, all the people listening were moved by it. But he didn't attain salvation by standing up on that mountain giving that homily. He did it by suffering through the pains of the cross. So, to offer up the Lord, ask for his help on the tough days, and praise him on those high days, because they will balance each other on the journey to the Lord. And remember this, staying faithful and true to his teachings and practicing our faith the best we can, no matter how difficult it is. Take comfort in this, that on the final day, on the last day that counts, if we have remained faithful and true, well, folks, that will be an uplifting day. It will be the ultimate uplifting day when we are lifted forever in the presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.